All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We're coming to you on this first day of July. We're planning to discuss specifically all the movement going on in the NBA. Free agency. It's happening everywhere. Teams are getting better. We certainly saw over the weekend that the, as far as the hometown team, we talked about the addition of Zach Edey and those introductions, along with their second-round picks, were made on Friday. But also we saw over the weekend, knew that deadline was coming, on Luke Kennard, and the Grizzlies declined the option. But the word is, if you were listening to Jeff Calkins' show, if you've been reading up on this, the word is the Grizzlies and Kennard very interested in working on a multiple-year deal or retaining Kennard. We'll see if it'll happen. We'll talk about that, and certainly the big moves that were made in NBA free agency, a lot of them to get used to. Also, DeJounte Murray trade and who he's going to, certainly concerning to the Memphis Grizzlies. Chris Paul, a Spur, that's going to take some getting used to. Will Smith, a little high in the monologue. You'd probably say, who? What? Will Smith. That was, performed last night on the BET Awards. Will Smith going back, as some wrote, to his musical roots. And so to see him last night on the BET Awards, I tell you, I wasn't moved. And I think he did move some, John.
Yeah.
And I know you were you probably weren't locked in. He did move some, didn't move me. Didn't move me. Just wanted to give you on the update on Will Smith's musical career.
Yes.
He is back.
Well, good to hear. Yeah, I obviously...
Remember Will and DJ Jazzy Jeff, don't you?
Yes.
Fresh Prince.
It is the BET Awards, though, so it's not something that, you know, I'm really watching, respectfully.
Well.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
who tried to get you to lock in?
It's not really my night. You definitely did, but...
I told you about everything we were going to have on the show. Taraji P. Henson hosting. She was fantastic.
Yep.
Wasn't just Will, though. We got an Usher tribute. He got the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Beautiful.
Now, understand that Usher's still very young.
Yeah, he is. But he's achieved a lifetime worth of things.
30 years.
It's amazing. I did see that Jaquan made a cameo. Good to see Jaquan. Not Walton.
I was going to say.
But the
he's got a deal that we don't know about with OKC, Jaquan Walton.
Right.
We're still trying to figure out the terms of that deal.
No, Jaquan was the, now everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Yeah. It's sort of a.
Yeah, with Shaboozy.
See, I didn't know about Shaboozy before last night.
Yes, Shaboozy was rough. He was rough.
Shaboozy is a black country music performer.
Yeah.
That's what I gathered from last night.
Right.
And to tie it in.
And now I get it.
To sort of bring it home, they brought back your boy, what's his name?
Jaquan. Yeah.
Everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Now I get it. Now I know where you're coming from on Eminem. I finally understand.
I have no idea what you mean, but I'm intrigued by what you say.
I finally get it.
What do you mean?
You don't, and a lot of people don't really believe Eminem is credible, and now I get it.
I wouldn't say I don't believe he's credible. I just don't hold him up the same way you do. I still want to know, you get what?
I get it. I get it. Watching Shaboozy out there talking about, I've been drinking since 10 a.m., Michael Tunnel's here, friend, everybody getting...
Where is Shaboozy from? If we're going to get into a breakdown of how credible he is.
And I will say this. There was one black guy when I was growing up. There was one black guy named Chris who was,
Got black dudes on the farm, bro.
I'm not talking about country like, you know, like Memphis country. I'm talking about like camo, the brand camo. I don't even remember what they called it, but the camo brand everybody wears. He had the dip. I mean, he was, you know, country, right? So That's kind of who Shaboozy reminds me of. But, yeah, like, it's just, you know, I don't know. The crowd didn't really seem like they were buying it either, bro, to be quite honest with you, you know?
Well, it was a little different.
Yeah, like,
it was black country
music. That
was
like a CMT performance as opposed to a BET performance, you know, the whole, I mean, he came out and said,
again,
it just
throws y'all off.
Again,
Beyonce doing country music threw a lot of white people off.
That's
crazy. I'm getting the same sense from you on this.
Yes.
It threw you off.
It did. It was like. When he said honky talk, I'm like,
We've probably talked about probably two of the bottom performances.
Right.
Of the
awards. That's the only one
night
that came on my
when
TikTok.
When you're talking about Will and you're talking about Shaboozy.
Yeah. So did you come away thinking that Shaboozy is the next great thing?
No.
Okay.
But I'm sure he's got a faction of folks that like that. I think he's from Virginia.
Yeah. Faction of folks that like it. That. They're all white.
My guess is he's from the farm, bro. And he's kind of combined, you know, two different things there.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where Shaboozy's career goes from here. But he's going to have to do something.
I did think we'd be grading the Paul George signing before we graded the Shaboozy performance. But I'm glad you caught that part. Again, I wish you'd caught some more of the highlights.
Yeah. Well, we will talk about everything that's gone down in free agency. A lot of teams have been incredibly busy.
Yes.
The Grizzlies have not. And so people are getting upset about that. People are getting a little restless about that.
Yeah, I think that's the word.
We'll discuss it. You know, what do you make of it? There's only really been one move to date for the Grizzlies, and that is declining Luke Kennard's team option. Of course, the report that followed that was that both teams are eager to work on a new restructured deal, but it does allow Luke Kennard to hit the open market. So we'll talk about that. Jason Fitz going to join us at 125. Got some Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. It's my birthday week. I'll be 33. I'll be 33 this week.
Congrats on that.
How about that? That's something. That is something.
Just
right
getting
there.
Older now.
Now, getting older, I saw a video. It's like
they don't do 40 under 40s.
Getting older is a conspiracy theory until it actually happens to you. And then by the time that it does, you can't help but think about all the time that's gone.
That's right.
And then when somebody put it like that,
you don't get it back.
Because you never think it's going to happen.
Dennis can tell you.
That's right. You never.
I can tell you.
I can see it in Dennis's face. Like, he's like, he never thought he would get old. But
I'm aging right before my eyes.
Not that you're old, Dennis. You're not old. You're just older than you used to be. You're as old as you've ever been right now. You know? And so I think that's the part of it that really resonates. Like, man, I remember being 24 and 25, like you're just going to be that forever, mm-hmm. and you're not. But that's a deeper discussion that we'll save.
I mean, really deep.
Yeah, that we'll save for a little bit later in the show. But yes, free agency has kicked off lots of blockbuster moves, teams trying to jostle for position in their respective conferences. Let's just start sort of locally because that's what people care about, and then we'll work our way nationally. We can sort of just start with that, you know, that tree. Is that fair?
That sounds like the way to go, John.
Yeah. So the Grizzlies haven't done anything. Other than decline Luke Kennard's team option. That's the only thing they've done. And obviously, again, the report was from Woj was that they are both sides want to work out another deal that's a little friendlier because the Grizz are obviously trying to stay under the apron.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea here. And so we'll see if that ultimately happens. But, you know, if you were, you know, I think the Edie pick sort of is incredibly informative when you start to look around. And you see, you know, what it was going to cost, for example, to get Isaiah Hartenstein, what it was going to cost to get some of these top-flight centers that Grizzlies fans wanted.
Well, I mean, we did point a finger at Andre Drummond and say a guy like that could be a possibility. He goes for, what, 2 years, $10
million? Yeah.
Yeah, that was certainly affordable. You felt like if again, you gave yourself some flexibility.
But he's, you know, joining, like, the super team, right? I mean,
he's
kinda
going to Philly, yeah. And I think I think Andre Drummond probably spent a season or there before in his career. I was about to say go back to Philly. Anyway, he's in Chicago. Yes, it was. He's looking at a team in the East that, yes, has added Paul George.
He's been there before.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I figured he'd had a Philly jersey on at some point. He's going back to a situation, yes, as you said, that looks like a contender in the East, but, I mean, you certainly could have afforded that price. Hartenstein, we knew he was going to get priced out. Heck, what the Knicks offered was more than you can. What he gets from OKC is just outrageous.
Yep.
Again, I'd still tell you good fit, but they can afford to do that. Andre Drummond was a guy that you'd said, okay, is probably in your price range. Turns out that way, but he picks a team that he feels like is a contender in the East. Who knows if they even, you know, were interested. The way that things are going now, who knows if you even bring up another big, which is something I think you and I both said even last week after the Edie pick. I know I did. I still thought would be something you'd be interested in, a veteran big. But no, back to the point, you've declined Luke's option, $14.8 million, get you off the line here for a minute. But again, if the idea is to bring him back, what are you giving him $10 million? Are you, you know, over you know, two, over three? Are you giving him, you know, you figure Luke at this point wants the years. And so either way, you're bringing Luke Kennard back, John, you're going to be right up on that line, on that tax line. And so we'll see what happens. Again, I was listening to Harrington on this. He's really interested to see what that number's going to come back at. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even speculate on what that contract's going to come back at, because you figure you're not getting Luke Kennard at less than $10 million a year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, again, is there interest out? John, I'd figure this. If there was huge interest in Luke Kennard, don't you think he'd be signed by now?
Yes.
Already to a $13 million a year deal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, $14, $15 million a year deal? So hopefully this gets done in a number the Grizzlies like, but then there's still some flexibility. Because if you bring him back in anywhere close to that number, you know, I think you're $8 million below the line without him. So you're going to be on that line or right over.
Right.
Zaire, Conchar, having to get off those guys is going to be $6 million a year for both of them. Going to be important
yep.
at that point, especially if you're going to try to do anything else. This may be it. This may be it.
Yeah, I don't really see, you know, maybe you keep a, you know,
you're full
Jemison.
Now with, you know.
I don't know, like on a two-way or something?
He's on the two-way. I think they're full at this point is yeah. what we were talking about, because you're going to start with Scottie Pippen Jr. also on a two-way.
Yes.
And Harrington brought this up. I don't think we've discussed it this morning, but I think it's something worth discussion, is that if you can move off of a Zaire or something like that, heck, you got to attach second-round picks to move off them or whatever, maybe you leave a roster spot open. So going into the season, you sit on 14 so that you maybe – because you liked what you saw from Scottie Pippen Jr. at the mm-hmm. end of last season, you leave one open just in the case that you want to convert one.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the Grizz could have...
Convert him.
You know, again,
like Gigi.
Jalen Smith would have been one of those guys. Like, again, that's who you could afford. He got 3 years, $27 million with the Bulls, but he got played off the court in the playoffs. So it's not like he's like some... I mean, they clearly drafted Zach Edey with the intention of starting him.
Well, that's clear.
You know,
yeah,
they...
I mean, you're, yeah, with where they are now and what's left out there.
He's the guy at the five. I mean, could they trade for De'Ron Sharp? I mean, and you know, have some depth that way. But who's going to take the pieces that they're trying to get rid of? That's the problem.
Are you okay with that in terms of front court depth? It's really this. It's having the option to go big, right?
Mm.
You've got it with Edey. You want it next to Jaren. You don't have anything behind him.
Yeah, I mean, that's an issue.
Other than going small with Brandon Clark.
That's an
so
issue.
So that was my reason for wanting to bring in a cheap veteran
yes.
center, not a starter necessarily at this point, because
right.
like you said, you've made the way here for Edey, but that would be the point of that. That's a little shaky to me, and especially if we're talking about, again, you're bringing back Luke, which is going to, you know, sounds like it on this deal that you're team-friendly, whatever, that's going to lock up another roster spot. Okay, which, you know, is that guy still coming?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the Grizzlies think they're fine.
Yeah.
Because you have the options,
right?
But you only got one way to go with big, and that's just Zach Edey.
Exactly.
In terms of next to Jaren.
Yeah, I'm looking at the
now
available centers out there, and it's rough. It's really rough.
Oh, yeah, they went fast.
Yeah.
You know.
They did. They sure did. And so, you know, could you take a flyer on, and I'm just going to throw this name out there, like Hernan Gomez, Willie Hernan Gomez? I mean, I don't even know where he is right now. I don't even know where, you know.
Again, they may feel like they're good there. I don't, you know, I'm a little shaky on that front court depth, particularly, again, our, you know, when our want-to-go-big lineup options, you've only got the one there. Yes, we're all hoping Zach Edey holds up, has a full season, makes the impact, including in the playoffs like a Derek Lively did, but I'd like to have something there in terms of a plan to fall back on. Maybe that's your boy, what is it, Jemison on the two-way, you know?
Or you can go back to Gorgie on the veteran minimum.
That's cutting it close, yeah.
What about Gorgie?
Well, if you move off of which I'm assuming they're going to want to, off of a Zaire, or, you know, that Conchar's contract's even tougher to move off of. But if you can, then, yeah, I guess there's an option for a big. But do you want to keep a spot open? As Harrington pointed out, I don't think it's been discussed a lot, just so you can convert – you know, a guy to a standard contract if you want to move Pippen Jr. up.
Yeah.
You know, because you are limited on number of games you can play him on that two-way contract in terms of with the big club.
Gorgie retired, so you can't even get him. He retired, and he's now working in the Spurs front office.
I was going to say, I thought I saw that man in the front office from their war room.
So you can't even get – your options are just basically non-existent.
Yeah, the button up on them.
Unless you get a trade, unless you, like, can work something in a trade. So I don't know what that looks like. But, again, you use nine. That's why, to me, you know, they clearly had an idea of how thin the center market was and what their chances were with their available free agents. So drafting Zach Edey at nine was their only choice. And I hope that this is maybe informative and educational in some way to the people that, you know, were very much against the Edey pick, is that they really didn't have another option. Yeah, you're basically saying, let's hope we get Andre Drummond, right? Let's hope we get him. Or what else would you have? You'd have nothing. You'd have no chance. I mean, Jalen Smith, you know, you want to overpay for Jalen Smith? He stinks, you know? So to me, it makes the pick look even more shrewd that, you know, they knew what the market was. They knew that they did not want to overpay, you know, a Drummond or a Jalen Smith. And you get a guy in Zach Edey who, you know, could potentially be better than both of those guys and on a cost-controlled, more team-friendly contract. I mean, so I'm cool with that. Now, again,
just how important he is now to the rotation, that goes up.
He's become
with your inactivity.
Pivotal.
Right, with not going out and getting another big,
no, he's got,
right now.
Now it's not like, you
just
know.
Just with what you've got.
He's got to be at least competent, right, immediately. He's got to be competent immediately.
Again, it's optionality, and I know for a lot of this season, we will see the Grizz playing small. We will see Jaren Jackson Jr. at the center.
Yeah.
But, again, if for much of the – remember, you're not a great half-court offensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And Devine was talking about this morning. It's not new to us. We know the deal. It's why Steven Adams was so great. When you're not great half-court offensively, you're not a great shooting team. You need more shots. That's where Edie's going to come in. Jaren's not doing that for you when you're playing five. You're not a great offensive rebounding team. We saw that last year.
Yep.
And so, again, having that big option, and that's, frankly, when the Grizz offense has been at its best the last couple of years because you need that offensive rebounder in there, that's a lot riding on Zach's shoulders now.
It is.
You know, not having I'd still like to have an option there, a big vet, somebody on the vet minimum something. Perhaps there's still that hope.
I'm sure there's somebody
if you're not
out there.
Going out and making a big move or trading one of these pieces like a Marcus Smart for a veteran.
Yeah, but
that's off the table.
You wonder though, like if you know whoever is available
center.
Right now, like can they even do that? That's the issue. It's like if you're still hanging around by now, you got to be horrible.
Well, no, I meant trade wise. I meant
gotcha.
If you're still
gotcha.
like if we could still pull off the Jared Allen trade,
right.
You know what I'm saying with Marcus Smart and the money and everything else. If there were still, I'm not. Obviously, it doesn't feel likely at this point, but if there was still a way to do that, you know, you've still got some possible assets. You haven't used any. You know, you didn't move up, and you've reserved all of your assets. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Edie, I like the fit, but I think we come away from the weekend, or at least the start of free agency, believing and knowing that there's a little bit more on him now.
Yeah, there
certainly.
Is. There is, yeah. You know, because even guys like Drew Eubanks, you know, or he's gone to the Jazz. Like, he would have actually made some sense, you know, as a backup big.
Yeah.
But you know, again, he signs with the Jazz. So you're just your options are extremely limited in terms of that position. And you were never in the Isaiah Harden. You
never.
Isaiah Harden.
You couldn't afford what the Knicks were offering him.
Exactly.
And they got priced out.
Anyway, that's the we'll see on the Grizz. Now, obviously, you know, The Luke Kennard move is the only one that we know for sure they're going to decide on or do. Outside of that, it's sort of a mystery.
Do you think it's enough in a West where, again, like I told you, feels like OKC and Minnesota, forget the feel like they took steps forward this year, but they've added, right? They've added in terms of what they've done this offseason. OKC right now help. With Caruso, Hardenstein, right? And then Minnesota, we really like the move that they made to get Dillingham. Now, we'll see. In terms of impact right now, that may be down the line. But my point is, you know, I won't say it's standing pat because you've addressed the biggest need in terms of adding a center. And Zach Edey could come in here and be – it could be great.
Right.
But have you done enough so far? I mean, is that the way you come in here on this Monday feeling – let's go get a top four seed? You know, it's not just a lot of pressure on Edie. It's obviously, and this goes without saying, but it's a lot of pressure on the guys you expect to be great, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson. I mean, you know, it feels like the West didn't get any easier, bro.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about what the New Orleans Pelicans did and bringing in DeJounte Murray. We'll see what shakes out the rest of the team, but that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's an upgrade. And so, you know, it felt like, you know, it's very early in the process, but the West ain't waiting on you. And in a lot of ways, you're sort of standing pat, especially as it relates to obviously to free agents.
Yeah, listen.
So far,
I mean, I think
not that they had a lot of wiggle room to mess around with. We knew where they are with the tax, but
yeah, I'm pretty comfortable.
You're okay.
With,
well, good. You can call me. I just it feels
just
like everybody's kind of moving and grooving, and we're kind of going 30.
If you told me that the big three are going to be healthy and they're going to play, I'll take my shot with those guys. I feel good about that.
Well, the big three's a lot better when they got a big man in the middle of it.
Well, they'll have a big man in the middle
of it. If it's
big
a big
Kona.
Three with, yeah, big who?
Big Kahuna.
That's what you call him now?
Well, he is the Big Kahuna. He is the biggest Kahuna.
I saw everybody trying to give him nicknames over the weekend. I didn't know if y'all had settled on something that I'd missed.
You know who makes actually the most sense right now? What they should do is they should just bring in James Wiseman.
Somebody else DM'd me that just now.
Like, he actually makes the most sense. He's young. He was number two pick in the draft. He obviously very humbled coming off of his, you know, where he's been in his career. He's from the state. Penny's here. Why not just come back to Memphis on a vet minimum deal or whatever, a cheap 2-year deal, and, you know, try to revitalize your career in Memphis? I mean, that would actually make sense. He'd be we know he can do something. You know, you're not asking to play 20, 25 minutes a game. He could be serviceable, you know, in 10 to 12 minutes. I mean, I'd tell you, and maybe he'll be better than that. Maybe he comes here, he's super comfortable, and you just never know. I would do James Wiseman.
I'd rather have that than the backup of wings at the back of the roster that now aren't going to play. Zaire, Conchar, you know, those guys. Jake LaRavia had enough of a, you know, end of the season in terms of with his shooting that there's enough. Yeah, and it's going to start outside the rotation, 11 spot, 12 spot, whatever it is. I'm fine with continuing to monitor that. But those guys that are on that $6 million, to your point, I'd rather have a James Wiseman and give me some front court depth there. And yeah, he's a project. Yeah, it might not pan out, but it's low risk to John's point. Then I want to pay $6 million when I'm close to the tax line for Zaire Williams.
Right.
And so, yes, if you can pull, you know, again, that may cost you, but I think you're ready to pay it. Second rounders to move Zaire for someone to take him.
Yes.
But I'm whatever's got to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. So I guess like
I like that better.
There are more options than maybe I let on. The Magic center Goga, I don't know what he's going to command, but you got to think about that. Mo Bamba's out there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, again, it's not sexy. It's not going to change your circumstances, but there are some, like, okay, 10 to 12 minute guys out there that aren't just positively terrible. That would be cheap. So
the 10 is good, though. That's what folks have, you know, your 10.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's not sexy because you're not adding. Like, everybody's going to be infatuated with the Philadelphia 76ers because they added Paul George. You know, I do like what the Magic did in bringing in KCP. Love that for them. I think that's exactly what they were missing.
I think it's a blow to Denver is what I think.
Big blow to Denver because some people said that Denver was offering similar money. So I'm not really sure what went on there. You know, I guess we'll really never know. But
they keep letting them vets walk away. They could, you know.
Yeah, I mean, who are you replacing him with? He had big shots for you. You know, I mean, he was your defender.
And Bruce the year before that.
Exactly.
You know, that you let walk, and he was so valuable.
Now, you know, Bruce got paid, right? He got a bigger role.
He did.
You know,
you're saying these contracts were offers were relatively the same?
That's what I saw from Tony Jones.
Interesting.
Tony Jones said that
some of the NBA experts have said that Denver's no longer a true contender.
I mean, they're lacking, dude. They're lacking some firepower.
Nah, well, Vegas doesn't think so.
Yeah, Tony Jones said Denver offered KCP a salary pretty similar to what he ended up getting from Orlando, and the Nuggets offered 3 years. So he left for a similar deal, same amount of years to Orlando. Maybe he believes in Paolo. Maybe he's a big, you know. I mean, they are. They got a chance. Franz and Paolo and Suggs.
Same money, why would you leave a team that's in the mix, even in a competitive West?
Maybe because he heard that the Nuggets were going to go after Westbrook, bro. I don't know.
That's who they're going after.
Yeah.
That's not some upgrade.
I can't believe, like, you can't have Westbrook and
Nuggets. Can't depend
Jokic
on Westbrook to knock
together.
Down any shots. KCP could do that for you and play some defense.
Jokic is going to hate his life with Russell Westbrook.
Ooh, that's a downgrade.
It is tough. So, yeah, the big moves, Philly, adding Paul George.
How about that? You tell me what you think about that. You're essentially, your third man was Tobias Harris. Now
right.
It's freaking Paul George.
Yeah, that's
significant.
It's an upgrade for sure. It's an upgrade.
You got
sure.
Drummond. You got Eric Gordon on a 1 year. Like, now you got Amore. He's got to fill out the rest of the roster. But just having those three, the question is, I'll frame it this way, is do they move past the Knicks for you in terms of getting closer to the champs, the Celtics? What's 1, 2, 3 in the East? That's it? Philly's 2?
Yeah, I'd say Boston, Philly. Yeah, because and I guess I'd go New York, although I think Orlando's going to have a say. I do. I really, truly do.
Man.
I do. I think KCP is an underrated acquisition that's going to help them take a big leap. They were, what, a 5? I mean, they could jump to 3.
Oh, they're a year away from being a year away.
It might be true, but they're coming. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, not with KCP. I mean, I'm just saying, like, lead the charge.
Well, they lacked
Bancaro's jump, and we needed professionalism
leadership
in the backcourt.
Right.
Yes,
we
need some
that.
Polish.
We go from Gary Harris to KCP.
Well, Gary was garbage.
Gary was horrible.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Let's not put them in the top four. Bro.
Well, yeah, I think I'll definitely put them in the top four. They're better than Cleveland. They're better than Cleveland now, for sure. So we're definitely putting them up. We're putting them at four. They're, to me, at minimum, they're four.
We had a healthy Cleveland. I mean, I know we had to come back from down 18 in Game 7, but that's debatable.
Well, I don't.
Who's
I don't,
our coach now?
It's
Atkinson.
Yeah.
We didn't do Borrego.
Right.
How about JB?
JB's back. I mean,
gave
that's
him
a big
dog
one
situation, though, again.
Well, he took it, didn't he?
What you going to do?
I mean.
Turn it down?
I would probably say, no thanks. Y'all suck.
Stop.
Dude, the Pistons, I mean, they just gave Tobias 2 years, $52 million.
Again, you got a new front office. Maybe it means some form of security, that if there's any in the NBA these days, if there's any for a black coach named J.B. Bickerstaff.
Maybe. Maybe so. Now, you might be right. I don't know. But I'm skeptical.
His time should be on his side. They should give him a 10-year
deal. Overwhelming. There's so many different moves, bro. Like,
no, well, the Paul George one need to be discussed. It's the biggest splash so far. Klay is obviously the dynasty as we knew it.
That's right.
Is over.
That's correct. Klay and Steph are no longer. I mean, you got to give them credit, man. I mean,
you get the respect, but there's nobody's gonna say anything, you know, nice about you from around here.
Well,
they flaunted it.
You
got to
give them.
And he specifically was the guy that was real arrogant.
He was. But they both
doesn't sound like he's gonna have to take as much of a pay cut as I thought he was. But he's still gonna. I mean, it'll be significant. He's coming down from 40 to. He sounded like he's gonna get 20 something from somebody.
Right. I mean, that changed.
Is he worth that anymore?
I don't think so, but, I mean, do I think Isaiah Hartenstein is worth $30 million? Do I think Tobias Harris is worth, you know, $25 million?
Actually, I like the KCP deal over getting a Klay Thompson because you are getting a guy who's going to still defend.
Exactly.
Going to still defend and probably at a better price.
That's 100% the case.
So he's better for you.
Yes. I mean, than
Klay would have been in Orlando.
Klay might shoot better from three for the year, but that's all he's going to do.
That's it.
You know, I mean, he's not going to.
He's lost. He's lost a step defensively, maybe two steps. You know, it's not the same.
Yep.
But I feel like, you said the word, a little restless. I'm a little restless. I think other Grizzlies fans probably with me.
Mm.
Like what we've done, like what they did in the draft, feels like everybody's kind of moving from you a little bit. You know, they've kind of, if free agency's a race, it feels like everybody's rolling, and maybe our word is stand pat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you're the Grizzlies, you could definitely you could sell it as, listen, here's the addition. Our additions this year are going to be Marcus Smart for a full year and Ja Morant for a full year.
Well, right, you're telling yourself you haven't seen the Smart trade
and
in
that's
action
and that's
yet.
That's
fair.
You know, so I don't really think that there's anything for the Grizzlies to do necessarily. I mean, they're not going to be able to get a Caleb Martin or somebody like that. I mean, I wish they could, but they don't have the assets to do something like that. Again, the problem is you're not getting these teams to take your bad players. So, you know, that consolidation that we've said needs to happen for the Grizzlies is not going to happen because the proof is in the pudding on your Conchars, on your Zaire Williams, like you said. Like, you're not – no one's taking them. You can't pull anybody on them. So, kind of just have to ride it out and hope and believe that the players that you have, the pieces that you have, your best ones, are good enough. And I think they are. I think that's true. Again, they need to be healthy. They need to be on the court at the same time, which has never happened. So if that happens, it's a huge victory, you know, for the Grizzlies. I don't think we need to panic yet.
I'm not panicking. I'm just a little restless. Wanted to go acquire that backup big. Still some options out there.
Yeah,
maybe you don't
bring Jimmy home.
But I'm not gonna lie to you. When I heard Harrington said the possibility of standing pat this morning. Do we have enough?
Mm-hmm.
Was the question that came up in my mind.
Yeah. I don't know. We shall find out. Anyway, that's the free agency. That's the free agency update so far. Not much really to say on the Grizzlies. Just, I guess, trying to get the Luke Kennard deal done. And
you need the shooting. You need the proven shooting.
Yeah, you do. I mean,
that's one part about it. And apparently you're going to get him at a number that you like. But you're going to be right up on it. Because, I mean, you know. Anything at 10 or, you know, anything a little bit less, you're still going to be right up on the line if you're, you know, if you're $8 million under without him. And so we'll see what the – I'm really interested in what that contract looks like. You'd think if there was a huge market out there for him, he'd already be signed. But wasn't the deal, it was the Clippers, right, that you got him from, wasn't the deal where he had fallen out of the rotation there? And it's basically because he brings one thing. You know, you can't really play him on the ball, and he just brings the shooting. And so he's hard to play, you know, particularly as it applies to the postseason. Clearly he's got one of the best, you know, in terms of skill. Mm-hmm. He's as good as it gets. But, you know, how much can you have him out there? You know, is a guy like that going to get Grayson Allen numbers? Don't look like it.
Right, right. You know what I'm saying? Harrington has, he says the rest of the West arrow up Oklahoma City with Harden.
1,000%.
And they
remember Caruso, bro. Caruso's huge for them defensively.
I would say that's definitely, I mean, they're a problem.
They passed you in terms of what they did in the playoffs, and now they're making moves that you. And here's the deal. They can afford to do that because they got all the cap space in the world. Yeah. So everybody's on rookie deals.
Yes. I will say this about Oklahoma City.
So they can afford to overpay for a Hardenstein, which they needed a big. They needed a presence in there.
But what I will say about Oklahoma City is that they have a lot of good, but they don't have a lot of great. They have Shea.
Shea is great.
He's great. But
he lifts everybody else up, though. Look at that team.
I mean, they couldn't beat the Mavs.
Well, Chet Holmgren got banged around in there by those two bigs, and you had to go get something, and they have.
Yeah, I mean,
if Chet
continues to take off, you know what I mean?
And yes, they overpaid for him, but back to the point, they can afford to right now with all the rookie deals that they have.
Yeah.
Hardenstein is perfect for them.
I mean, again, they're a problem. They're a big problem,
bro.
The Pelicans he has up because they got DeJounte Murray.
That has to mean Brandon Ingram out because I don't know how with Zion and with if you're keeping C.J. McCollum, who's basically a spot-up shooter now, and you need him.
Yes.
And you've now brought in DeJounte Murray, who, oh, by the way, plays some defense and did down with San Antonio. Hopefully your boy Willie Green can get him back to doing it.
Yeah.
You have to be moving on from Brandon Ingram.
Agreed.
Because I don't like it. It's still dysfunctional with Brandon in there. There's not enough. There's too many shots. Guys need shots. You're bringing in DeJounte Murray takes clutch shots.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I love the move, but it's got to mean that it's got to signal the end for Ingram, I would think.
Yeah. So, you know, and then you have, you know, your Nuggets. We talked about how you going to replace KCP with Russell Westbrook.
So that's he didn't have them
downgrade.
Up arrow. Oh,
he's got them down.
Down. Yeah. Then we're right with him.
Clippers were down with Paul George, but now that he's gone, certainly down.
Everything they've invested in Kawhi has backfired, and that's one of the reasons why Paul's left. They wouldn't give him the fourth year. And it's all come back to haunt them.
And I do disagree with him a little bit here. He has the Warriors pointed down because they lost Klay Thompson. I don't think that necessarily has to be the case. You know, I know Sane is not high on Podziemski, but I am, actually, and especially for that team. I think Podziemski could step in potentially. We don't know what moves the Warriors might make yet.
Well, they're going to need to if they're going to be on an upward trajectory.
But
Klay
was mostly a minus. In his last days.
Well, remember, he got moved to the bench.
Yeah, so.
This year.
I'm not like, I don't think it's this huge loss for the Warriors. You know, they definitely need, you know, they were mentioned as one of the suitors in the Paul George sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that potential fit.
Yeah.
I guess they couldn't have, you know, they couldn't get it done in the end, but.
Philly had too much money.
Yeah, they have to go bring in somebody. But I always think if you have Steph, you know, you have a chance. That's just...
Well, remember, I mean, they tried to trade for LeBron, even though the Lakers weren't hearing it.
Right.
Like they want to be aggressive with a sort of last effort, last era for Steph.
Exactly.
Who's still playing in a monstrous all-NBA
level. I mean, would
they
make sense for Brandon Ingram?
If they want to lose, it'd be a downgrade to me. It'd look good on paper.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But he's not a winning player, bro.
He's a ball stopper.
Like yeah. I'm not gonna hate on the man and his money. I would not want him anywhere near my franchise. Yeah. I don't know how much Brandon Ingram cares.
Right.
You know, and you got to care to be a winning player in this league.
Yes.
You got to want championships. I'm not sure he does.
Right. But that's the free agency update as of now. We'll see what the Grizzlies do from here. Probably bring back Luke Kennard, and then that's mostly probably your roster with the two way guys. You know, and. You know, is that good enough? We'll find out. But that's how it looks at the moment. All right, we'll come back. Like we said, Jason Fitz going to join us at 125. Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Welcome back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Ni hao, Brad.
Hey.
That means hello in Chinese.
Hello.
Brad has actually been on, and we have not talked about this, but Brad was on a mission in China over the last couple of weeks. He's been working remotely, and he has returned a new man.
What do you bring back to us from China?
So I was on paternity leave, and you know, I got an announcement here. You know, at the fertility clinic of 92.9. Yeah, number two. We figured we'd separate them by about 16 years, Jason. Oof. So, next man.
Good luck.
Thank you.
16 years. That is what we call
started
an accident.
All over again.
And that was an accident.
That would be a joke because that is not happening. I don't think it's possible.
Restart the whole private school tuition scale.
Oh,
start
hell
it over
to
again.
No.
You want to go back to the to the start of the thing?
Well, here's the solo truth. Dolo, brother.
Here is the truth. We have not gotten your thoughts yet, Brad, on the Grizzlies draft.
Yes.
Mostly the, I mean, the number nine pick, right? I mean, the second round guys. We can fall in love with them. We cannot, whatever. Take
Wells,
them or leave them.
Spencer, shooters.
Yeah, exactly. But Zach Edey at nine.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I think it was the only move you had, and especially looking at it, through the glasses of a week removed from the draft. And you see the market, see what you got. I kind of lean in your direction, John, and I listened to you while the draft was going on. I listened to you the day after the draft was going on, and I think, Jason, it sounds like you're not quite in that party, but you're closer to John than a lot might be.
Fine with the pick, and I think you had my point, Brad, and we said this the day after the lottery. John wasn't here at that point. We're talking about paternity leave then, but we said you have got to either use that pick to go get a center, a veteran, one, whatever else, or come out of the draft with one. You could not move up to get Klingon. Obviously, you tried. Woj reported everything else. You couldn't do it.
Yep.
Zach Edey was the next best thing. You had to come out of this draft with a center. Now, where I am a little bit shakier to your point about where I'm just not quite with John, and maybe, John, you see the beginning of the free agency has added to this, is you're asking a lot of Zach Edey now. This feels like, you know, you're asking him to not just be the starting center, but a guy that you're talking about playing between 20, 30 minutes. If, again, big is the best option for this team.
Yep.
And so if you don't have anything behind him, if we're talking Trey Jimison is the guy that you go big next to Jaren Jackson with, that's a little scary for me. It's a little concerning. Is it enough? It's where we just were. But in terms of the fit, Brad, back to the point he asked you, you have to love it because what you need in this offense is offensive rebounding. Particularly, again, you don't have proven shooting other than Bane. We'll see how much Kennard is on the floor with the stars. My point, when you don't have proven shooting, you need as many cracks at it as possible. You heard Devine talking about it again with Jeff. This isn't rocket science. You need an offensive rebound out there, and a la Steven Adams, and Zach Edey will do that and more.
Yep.
And so, but again, is he going to hold up 82 games doing that, playing 20 to 25, 30 minutes maybe? We'll see. You know, maybe the Grizzlies decide, you know what, a lot of what we do, 50% of it's going to be Jaren and Brandon because we are going to go small and there'll be a lot of matchups where we can get away with that. Maybe that offense starts to look really good again like it did in that series against Minnesota and you're not putting as much pressure on Edey. But I think where we can all agree is that as the roster is constructed right now, it's a lot of pressure on your rookie center and Zach Edey to come in here and be, you know, good. He's going to need to be good.
I vote that he's going to be good, and I'm going to bet him being good, and he has to be good if they're going to get into the playoffs. That's the bottom line. And I think it's
really
worth,
just about health to me because I'm with you. I think he will be good if he's on the floor.
I think he's going to be healthy too. I think he's, you know, it looks like he'll be healthy.
And I'm not,
well, I know he's not like Zion.
I'm not. Who was it? John Kristen Peek or whoever blasted it?
Yeah.
And mainly because those that have been critical of it have been about the defensive foot speed, and all those are fair concerns. I don't know. Talk about the worst pick in the history of the draft or one of the worst. It's not that. We talked about this last week, John and I both. You know, you have Jaren Jackson Jr. Right now you have Marcus Smart. You have Vince Williams. You have some key defensive pieces that can help make up for the lack of defensive foot speed of a Zach Edey. A guy like Jaren's going to be roaming. Again, I want Zach boxing out. You know, but being a presence, yes, but boxing out and getting rebounds, that's the other part of the defense that you didn't have. Again, when you ask Jaren to do that, takes away from what he can do from a block standpoint. So, fits in all the ways. Can he fit long enough?
One question.
As effectively enough as you need to jump back in here to true contenders.
The other name that came up many times over the break I was listening to y'all was Dalton Connect and the UT fans going bananas and all that silly stuff. Here's the one question I will ask you, because I think they made the right pick. Is Dalton Connect or any of the players between Edey and the pick with Connect at 17 going to perform so well that it will embarrass the pick that the Grizzlies made? I will ask you that. I don't believe it will happen, but that is very possible, and you know that what will come if that does happen.
I think there's basically no chance. I think there's no chance realistically that we're going to look up in 5 years and say, oh, my God, the Grizzlies – passed on Dalton Connect and could have had him. Because, by the way, it wasn't just them.
No, it was a bunch of teams. That's why I said up to 17.
As we talked about it, right? Like, if he had gone 10th,
right,
you would have said, oh, my God. Like, they really messed that up.
Right.
But
there's multiple teams that said,
pass,
we ain't doing
11 this. 11 pass, yeah. 12 pass, 13 pass, 14 pass. I mean, the Trailblazers passed.
Right.
Okay? And they're horrible. They have nothing. So the fact that, like, multiple teams that had desperate needs, of course the Lakers are going to just take the best player available at 17. That just made sense. But, no, I don't really worry about that. And, again, I've talked about it, but I just think this guy has, you know, the right approach mentally. You know, he's not playing in the Olympics. We haven't talked about that. He's just completely out of it. He's going to focus only on the Grizzlies. He said, you know, and the country's disappointed.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, if you saw, like, you know, some of the fans, they expected him to play. They expect him to be
a part
of this
roster. Well, they wanted to keep him away from Dylan Brooks, basically, right?
I mean, probably. I mean, I'm sure
we don't need you contaminating our draft pick.
But they,
yeah, but hadn't we talked about how those training camps around the Jamal Murrays and everything, the other guys, the other Canadians or whatever, the SGAs of the world would have been, we think, thought a good thing for him? Hell, I'm not going to lie to you. I think it's not happening. And yes, for storylines and narratives and for Grizzlies fans, it'll be better seeing him in a couple of summer league games. But you tell me what'll be more helpful. Because the good ones will be at that Canadian training camp, right?
Yes.
And again, that's assuming that most of those veterans take it seriously. Why wouldn't they? These are the Olympics. And he would have at least been training with SGAs, Jamal Murrays, and those guys. Mm. Not just Dylan Brooks. Like, there would have been some positive influence there. All that said, you know, I'm fine. I like the dedication. To John's point, I think it shows that,
exactly,
you know, that this guy's locked in. He wants to have his body ready, and I'm not going to go against anybody that wants to get ahead of it early, you know. Especially, again, when this is a chance to play for your country.
Yep. Yes.
And that's got to mean something to you. It clearly does to Zach Edey. And you're saying, you know what, that it does mean something to me, but this means more right now.
Yeah.
That, how can you not love that as a Grizzlies fan?
So the quote was, "I've made the difficult decision of pulling myself out of the process to compete for a spot at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games with Canada. Since last summer, I've been training and competing nonstop to achieve my goals of winning a national championship at Purdue and making it to the NBA. I have a duty now to properly prepare for all that is coming my way with being drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies. The work I put in this summer on my body and my game is critical for me to be the best version of myself. Thank you to Canada Basketball and all the fans for your support and understanding. Representing Canada in the Olympics remains a lifelong dream of mine, but for now, I look forward to being the team's biggest fan from afar."
Wow.
So I just think the guy, I mean, listen, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it just sounds to me like he has the absolute perfect mentality of how he's going to ingratiate himself. He's completely committed to the Grizzlies. He's going to play in the summer league a little bit. He's saying, hey, I'm coming in. I understand how important I am to this team.
Yeah.
I understand. I know.
I don't need to see a ton of them. I don't know about you, but I'm with you on this dedication. I'm with you on this
dedication. Is he going to play summer league?
He'll play one or two games.
Yes, I mean, he's clearing the way for it. Wow. I figure he's going to appear.
In the games. Okay. We're a week away from
it. I don't know. I don't think he's playing a full slate in Utah and in Vegas.
That would be a couple of shots.
You didn't play Ja back in the day, right?
I mean,
you're not going to risk anything.
Are they going to Utah this year?
I think so. They're doing
Utah for a few games and then Vegas.
Monday is the first game in Utah.
I don't know this, but I would wager that there's no way he's playing in Utah.
I was going to say, if he does, I play him one game.
Yeah.
And then I'd play him again. I'm not playing him a full schedule of summer league games. You got four in Vegas starting on the
12th. I would use him like the Spurs used Wimby last year.
Right.
How many times they played him?
Once or twice.
That's all I need to see.
And then you shut him down.
That's it.
Yeah, like.
And you tell me what's more useful, that, and it's really just us seeing him, because that's all it's going to be, or the camp with the Canadian team. Now, the camp with the Canadian team, you go on into the Olympics and everything else.
Two games he played. That's what I would do with E.
I think that's fine.
I'd do that.
Yeah.
You play him two games, and then, you know, see what you get.
The chance of risk is it's less with you. It's less with you. I mean, again, he could go to that Canadian training camp.
Yeah.
Everything looked good. You go on to the Olympics, you could hurt yourself.
Yep.
Then he's not on your watch. You're like, oh, my gosh. And everything that's riding on him. Back to where Brad kind of started, though. If you had come out of this draft with just Connect, and you're coming out of it with like a project center, right, that you had to get in the second, you didn't address the biggest need. Mm-hmm. And so back to the point about down the line, will we look back at this? I don't think so, because, again, this was the need.
Yep.
And Connect was a great fit for all those reasons. But if you are having to depend on with this market, the fact that you haven't been able to go out and get another big, you know, that would have been a mess, and you would have come away not having addressed your biggest need, which was center. So I think in the end, John's going to be right that we're going to look back on this and say it was the right thing. And especially when you add, you know, Connect slide to 17.
Yes.
If it had been 10 or something, it'd be a little bit different then. And he's boning.
I also, like, I am kind of shocked that G.G. Jackson is going to play summer league. Like, I don't.
Calm down, bro. He needs run. He's not going to get as much in the regular season that he did last year.
Well, who's
he's going to play?
Who's going to play in front of him, though? Like, you don't think he's going to be.
He's still like eight in the pecking order. I mean, if you got, you know, you got Vince or Marcus Smart ahead of him one way or the other, right? You got Santi Aldama sort of ahead of him at the four. So it's still like he's still eight or nine, which is a perfect place for him because you don't have to.
I wouldn't play him the full slate in summer league either, though. I would. I'd play him a couple of games and shut him down.
1,000%, bro.
Yeah, because
you know you have something
special. I've seen enough.
But he's still 19, and he still needs to be developed. And so, again, games.
Right.
You know, telling yourself that he's a finished product is probably a mistake. He needs as much run as he can get. You know, I'm with you. You're going to play sparingly summer league because you're still developing. And you know, you don't want to forget about him this season when the, you know, it really gets it gets to be winning time. You want to at least have maxed out the opportunity that's going to be there. Figure it's going to be less than last season.
Right. I mean, to me, it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be like the second round guys. Right. They'll be big parts of the team.
Yeah. Was that Wales and Spencer?
You know, are you asking? You know, is Laravia playing in it again?
Heck yeah. I'd have him out there.
So LaRavia's out there.
To try to continue the sort of the end of last season, the momentum that he started to put together with his shot.
Yeah.
And what if he looks like crap? Yeah, he shouldn't be on the roster.
I mean, he's hanging on barely just because the salary isn't hurting you in the way that it, you know, Zaire's and Conchar's are.
Yeah.
And, again, I think on this team, yes, you're trying to bring Kennard back, but you got him and Bain in terms of proven.
Right.
And so if LaRavia's got a shot, you could still use him in the back end, you know, whatever, 12 to 15, wherever he ends up falling in there. I still think it's decent. It's worthwhile. Now, if you got to include him in some trade to free up some space, absolutely you're doing that. But I got more faith that there might be something there on a team that needs shooting than I do in Zaire and Conchar, especially both of them making $6 million a year.
Yeah.
Like,
that ain't gonna work.
For sure. So I saw DJ Jeffries is going to be on.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. It was a good.
Who did he get picked up by?
He's Grizzlies.
He'll be playing Grizzlies.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Good for you. Know what? Think he can defend. He might be a useful piece. I'm not saying he's going to make the roster, but he might be a G League player, right? He can rebound a little bit, defend.
You know, he's a summer league roster.
He's 6'9".
You know, I mean, I think that's kind of where I'm
a believer.
Yeah, I mean, I love DJ's family, but I mean,
they're great people. I wish for him to do well, man. He's just a grip. I mean, 4-year player in college. I want him to do well.
I think it's just going to be tough for him, but at least he's going to have a shot, right? He's got a shot with the summer league team. So,
who else intrigues you on that thing?
All I know is of DJ now, right? I don't think we have the whole roster. I was
they'll be getting that to
Edie
us.
And Edie. No, it hadn't been announced yet, but yeah. Spirit Edie. Yeah. And Gigi will be on there. Like,
and you should have a damn good summer league team.
I would be shocked if Laravia is not on there. Because, you're talking about another guy's not going to get any run this season either on a contender. Yeah. Let's get him out there.
The second rounders look fun. Good shooters. They draft a couple of them. I know, John, you kind of tuned out for that second round. But
Whatever. I mean, it's second round guys. It's, you know, whose numbers are good. You know, you see, you know, again, your expectation should be at the floor for second round guys. I mean, so anything, if they give you anything.
If they could get a Gigi, that'd be a lottery, you know.
Gigi would be a top five pick in 2024.
Yeah. Odds are you're going to miss because you just hit on Vince and on Gigi.
And on Gigi.
And second rounders don't hit at that rate the way they
people
have.
People get spoiled.
That's fair.
Bro. People get so spoiled.
You do.
But if you get, if like, one of them that? Pans out and eventually becomes a rotation player, I think it's a success.
Yeah.
Because you went after something specific. It was shooting. Both of those guys are expert at it. Hopefully one of them sticks for down the road. At least one. Maybe we'll see. Kleiman's been good in the second round.
And clearly they've changed philosophies with no project 18-year-olds. They're going for these dudes that are like 22 years old who know how to play basketball.
Well, they just drafted a project last year with Gigi, though. So
you got that. And you like
you
it.
Hit on it.
Yeah.
Back to the point. You have that right now in Gigi, so you don't need. That's why you didn't know you need to go get Cody Williams. Who was that?
Especially
another one of those 19-year-olds. Yes, and especially at nine, you didn't need to go do that again. You got one of those.
Yeah.
And you went a little older with your second round guys, which I don't think is an unsmart thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Grizzlies for next year. I mean, I don't really know how else I could say it. I think, you know, if you have your big three, which is Bane, Ja, Jaren on the court, and they play a bunch of games together, which they really have never done, they're going to be in the mix. You know, and that's all you can hope to be. You know, just hope to get some good injury luck, hope for other teams to get bad injury luck. Hate to be that morbid about it, but it's
true. Right.
I mean, that's what Boston got. Boston got a lot of that. And they also got some luck when the Mavs were in the finals, and it wasn't the Denver Nuggets, and it wasn't the Timberwolves, right? I mean, you know, you can see a world where the Timberwolves are a much tougher matchup for the Boston. So,
would you still put Dallas ahead of them?
The Grizzlies?
Yes. Because I know you got Minnesota and OKC ahead of them unless you're crazy.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to because they were in the finals, right?
It's hard. They did lose, who's my guy, Derrick Jones?
Yeah. That seemed willing, right? That's the only thing. Like, they seemed kind of willing to let him go. Yeah, I would have the Dallas Mavericks slightly ahead
so
of the Grizzlies.
So that's four already by default. You don't have it. You got anybody? Pelicans?
No.
Golden State?
No. Clippers? No.
And how far are you bringing Denver down? Below the Grizzlies? So highest
I don't
you
know if I can do that.
That's fine. We don't have to mess with what's below. The highest you're putting them four.
I think the Grizzlies would be and should be very happy to be a top four seed next year.
Well, yes. They won't get that kind of respect going into the season. They'll have to earn it.
And that's probably fair. Like, they should. But
what becomes of the Lakers? They're just going to be garbage?
I think they're going to be what they always are, which is, like, content to be a play-in team.
I know they hated when D'Angelo opted in. I would have.
Exactly. So I think that's exactly what it is. I think I think they're like, hey, we'll be a six, we'll be a seven, we'll be an eight, or even worse, and we'll just do what we always do and grind
LeBron
it out.
LeBron was talking about taking a pay cut to get somebody up in there.
Clay. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about.
You wasting your money, brother.
Yeah, because they did him. They
don't
did.
Take the
they
cut
did
for
do
Clay.
Him the biggest solid of all time by drafting his son at 55.
It's not a solid.
Oh, it's a solid. That's a solid.
They got the king.
Yeah,
there's a price to have the king.
They got a chance, though. They got a.
Genie will pay whatever it is.
Bronny would not have heard his name called if not for that.
Nepotism. You know?
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
I don't know, man. Some of them second round teams that Paul was calling.
I don't know. Maybe
Rich
you're right.
Paul was calling.
Maybe somebody
to tell him,
would have taken a flyer on him.
Yeah, like Woj said, he helps your your G League attendance at the least.
Well, that is true. He would. He would be the attraction with the Memphis Hustle in South Haven.
Yep.
How much are those Lakers veterans? They love LeBron. They respect him. But when all these questions are being asked, right, of JJ about, you going to play Bronny? What's the plan for him? Mm-hmm. They're trying to have a season win a championship. You telling me that locker room's not going to resent that a little bit? I mean, everybody understands the unique situation. And if Michael Jordan's kids have been good enough, they're probably one of them probably been in the locker room. Like that's what we do. The greats get this kind of treatment. Let's be real. We could set that to the side. But you telling me there ain't going to be mumblings in that locker room when your freaking Redick's getting asked for the 15th time this season about what's the plan for Bronny? Are you bringing him up? How much are you going to play him? Is he going to play with Dad? All this stuff. What a freaking distraction. It'd be great to have Bronny and Dad riding to work together. That's a beautiful thing. But how does he help you right? He clearly doesn't help you now other than you're keeping LeBron. That's your way of retaining him.
Right. No, that is it.
But he could destroy the chemistry. He could destroy JJ's whole reputation. You go out there and you give this kid some kind of extra, you know, you leave him out there longer, you lose a whole locker room.
Right.
Early. Because this kid's got no business being there. We all know it. But they're, they have to do whatever it takes to keep LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. What a weekend. What a weekend. What a week in the NBA. You got to love it. You got to love, the drama.
It's that fast and furious early. It's hard to keep up.
But yeah, it's a little
over. It's been easy to keep up with the Grizzlies' moves.
It's a little overwhelming.
Or lack thereof.
There is no doubt about that. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Caitlin Clark, folks. Oh, you got to love it.
Oh, Lord.
Who had the last laugh this weekend?
You're getting caught up in this.
Was it the haters? Was it the haters of Caitlin Clark, or was it the woman herself who took you from the school bus of the sky to chartered flights? Many are asking. We'll reveal the answer when we get back.